to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Jim reminded me this morning before I came to the platform that the life of a, how's that go, Jim? Okay, I'll say that one more time for the radio audience, right? A Christian's testimony is more powerful than an infidel's argument. We're supposed to be living like Jesus would live when he was here on this earth. We're to portray Jesus Christ with our lives. Sadly, what has happened all too much is worldliness has taken over. I'm going to explain that to you in just a moment. One man said the world has become so churchy and the church has become so worldly, it's hard to distinguish between the two. There is a hard line drawn for between the unbeliever and the believer. And I'm born again and I'm saved by grace and I owe it all to Jesus Christ. Because of that, I'm supposed to live like Jesus commanded me to live. And he empowers me to do that. I don't live the life that I used to live before I got saved. God has changed my heart, changed my life, and he's established my heart. I'm supposed to live like a child of God. Say, preacher, why would you preach that on a Sunday morning? Because everywhere, people that are members of the family of God have taken on all the traditions and customs and habits of the world. Some that are born again have gone back to the world and they have lost their testimony along the way. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 John in chapter 2. And really, I'm going to start with verse 12. And then I'm going to explain it, I'm going to preach it just a little bit, and trust that God will get a hold of your heart. We're going to read the word world in this passage. The word world is literally the word K-O-S-M-O-S. That's the cosmos. It's the present order of things. It is the culture in which we live. It's at war with the things of God. The word flesh, it can be used interchangeably with worldliness. That is the Greek word sarxenos. It speaks of being fleshly, carnal. Fleshly, of this earth, the old nature, the old man, before we're born again. We all got it in us. We are all children of Adam. You get born again, you become a child of the second Adam. You become a son of God. But you still got that old nature living within you. You're not perfect while you're here in this world. And that's the battle that's going on right now. And what happens is, Christians along the way, because they're rubbing shoulders with the world, and you can't help that to a great degree, but because we're rubbing shoulders with the world and not living and reading and studying the Bible, not a people of the book, what happens is we go back to becoming like the world. And therefore, no testimony. And therefore, people stop getting saved. And I want to preach to you this morning, when I get to it, the result of being a worldly Christian. Verse 12. 1 John chapter 2. And verse 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. And I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. John here is writing to three generations of Christians that are to grow in the grace of God. We're not to love the world. We're not to be caught up in the world. I got to say this, just like Abraham of old, who lived in tents, that was by design, by God. Don't drive your stakes too deep in this world. You're to be in search of a city whose builder and maker is God. Don't get caught up in the things of this world. Where your heart is, Jesus said, there will your treasure be also. So you don't fall in love with the cosmos. You don't fall in love with the things of this world, because that will rob you of so much good. And I'm going to preach that here in just a moment. I'm still building up to it. You will lose so much as a child of God if you start to love the things of earth. Don't drive your stakes deep. Don't do that. That is a mistake. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Love not the cosmos, neither the things, the culture, neither the things, circle that word things, that are in the world. There's all kinds of things in this world, whether they're abstract or you can touch them with your hand, whether they're philosophical and priorities of life or things of the flesh, possessions and things. We're not to love them, because where you put your heart, that's where what you will treasure. And if you love the things of this world, you're going to lose it all. Let's read on. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, that which you covet, the pride of life, ambition, me, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon the word of God. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would speak to all of us this morning. We all deal with worldliness and a sin nature. Everyone that's born again, we still got it. And Lord Jesus, would you just help us to have victory, find victory, know victory in Jesus Christ. Please, help us not to be like the world. Help us be like our Master, our Savior, the one to whom we owe everything. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I love life. I love the things, the blessings of God, the blessings of life, big and small. Somebody brought me, a little girl handed me a bowl this morning with 3 homemade sticky buns on it. And cinnamon rolls. I can't wait. They're in on my desk. I was concerned about the Sunday school class that was in there, so I pointed out to them there better be three cinnamon rolls in there after this, and they're there. They did well. They did not touch them, and I was glad for that. Better than that, I went in to have prayer with Greg just before he come up out on the platform, and they multiplied. There's a whole nother plate of cinnamon rolls in there, so I got 2 plates of them. I don't know if I preached on cinnamon rolls sometime in the last week or two, or the Holy Spirit touched your hearts all together on that, but God bless you on that. I love life, but life is a battle. Life is a war. And we are at odds with the cosmos. The cosmos is at war with God. That's why the culture is like it is. You can't rub shoulders with the culture, except it's going to affect you. The only way it won't affect you is if you spend just that much time in the Word of God, and you really are a person of the book. That's why it's so dangerous to go to a secular university, because you're surrounded by pseudo-intellectualism that read things in books, people that some of them can't hold a job if their life depended on it, you know, and they're surrounded by it. And of course, your peers who are newfound adults, and they're exploring and experimenting all kinds of debauchery and sin. That's why it's so dangerous. You have got to keep your life grounded in the Word of God. Don't love the things of this earth. Don't do that. Don't become infatuated with the world. Don't do that. As a child of God, keep your eyes on Jesus. Maybe you're at a workplace, you're at the job, and they're wearing you down. Spend time in the book. Hey, I know how for you to become a spiritual giant. Spend as much time in the Bible as you do with your smartphone. You will grow like like no one has ever seen. People will think you'll get so excited and zealous about the things of God, people will think you're crazy, just like they thought the Apostle Paul was. Let me just get to these 5 points, because I've got a whole lot of introduction here and there's a whole lot more I want to say, but we're not to love the world. It tells us right here in 1 John and in chapter 2 and verse 15, neither the things of the world. Don't get caught up in that. I know there's glitter in every direction. There are false promises that come from all kinds of voices and platforms. The only way you're going to make it in life as a child of God and finish strong is by having one of these in your hand and getting it in your heart. In your heart. Remember when you were the closest you ever were to God? Remember when you had zeal? And you were so in love with God, nobody could slow you down. I guarantee you, that was the time of life you were in this book. And God will do it again. If you choose to be a worldly Christian, there are results. Number one, worldliness destroys Christian joy. You'll lose your joy. Let's go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. You're familiar with the text. We're gonna look at about 4 or 5 different texts. Not going to spend a great amount of time in any one of them this morning. By the way, Romans 12:1, Ken Orr's favorite verse. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That's verse 2, actually. Be not conformed to this world. You see, that same battle was going on in Paul's day. I liken it to a jelly mold, a jello mold. You know, you make that jello and it's soft, actually it's liquidy, and mom would pour it into this fancy mold and put it in the refrigerator, and it would take the form of the mold. And that mold is the world system in which we live. It's where we're at. It's where we are living. And if you're not careful, you're going to be conformed to the world. The fashions of the world, the look of the world, the philosophies of the world, the music of the world. If you're not careful, you're just going to take on all those characteristics. Now, here's the warning this morning. If you do that, you're going to lose your joy. You will. King David became like the world. Instead of going off to war, like in the time of year when kings would go to war, he was where he should not have been. You know the story, and he ended up falling into an adulterous affair with Bathsheba. And a baby was conceived and born as a result of it. David asked for forgiveness of sins, but the sin had already done its dastardly work. And the result was a baby that was 7 days old died. Tamar was raped by her brother, both children of David. Absalom killed Amnon. Absalom was killed by Joab, captain of David. And other than Joab, we're talking about the children of David. They reaped what he had done wrong, his sin. And they had sinful habits themselves as a result of that. And Psalm 51, if you'll turn there, you're probably already there. Look at verses 8, 12, and 13. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. David had lost his joy. Look at verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted to thee. David lost his joy because he took on the form of worldliness. And I can look at several other passages of Scripture, which we don't have time to look at this morning. And you show me a Christian that has become worldly, and I'll show you a Christian that is miserable. And they're impacting all kinds of lives, the lives of people that they love. It pays to serve God. It really does. Don't drive your stakes too deep in this world, in this cosmos. Don't take on worldliness. If you do, there's going to be terrible results. Oh, I was going to ask these 5 questions, and they aren't original with me, but let me ask them to you right now. What bothers you more, a soul going to hell or a scratch in your new car? What bothers you more, a brother in Christ backsliding or your team losing the ball game? What bothers you more, an hour and a half long church service or an overtime in a ball game? What bothers you more, missing a day of work or missing a day of church? What bothers you more, missing your daily Bible reading or prayer or missing your favorite television program? And therein is worldliness and that heart. I read another preacher this last week, and he said this: most people identify worldliness in four ways. Immodest dress. Number two, fleshly habits that war against the soul. Number three, listening to rock music or jazz or rap or whatever. Or number four, indiscreet conduct such as swearing, lying, gossiping, stealing. But really, those things are just fruit of the tree of worldliness. Worldliness is in the heart, where God, the devil, steals your heart from God. You know what he'd like to do to the church? Rob it of all its joy. Take away all of the good times and the joy that is better felt than telt. And that happens when worldliness creeps in. Worldliness will create a spiritual fog. Psalm 137 and verse 4. Turn over there, would you please? This psalm was written concerning the children of Israel and the land of Babylon. It says in verse 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? The problem wasn't that they were in a strange land. The problem was that their hearts had already backslidden and left God years before. And so what they had that was clear had now become fog, spiritual fog. Let's go to the text that Pastor Josh had you read. And John in chapter 21. Would you turn there? John in chapter 21. Verses 3 through 6. The Bible tells us that the God of this world blinds the minds. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Bible tells us Jesus said the prince of this world, I think it's John in chapter 11, is Satan. This is his world right now. This is his culture that is running this world right now. More people are serving Satan than are serving God in this cosmos in which we are living. Hence all the problems. And by the way, when something goes wrong, don't you shake your fist at God. Man, don't you blame God. The prince of this world is the devil. The God of this world is the devil. You want to shake your fist at someone, shake it at him. You know, there are more people following the devil than are following Christ in this country in which we live right now. And then you got those that are on again, off again. You got the Christians that are blood-bought and are born again, but they're living like the world. So who are they fighting for? They're fighting for the devil. They're fighting on the wrong side. That's why in James in chapter 4, the children of God are said that it's told that they could be enemies of God. That's a hard thing to fathom. That you or I could be blood-bought, born again, and be an enemy of God. But that's what happens when worldliness creeps in. John in chapter 21, the disciples are backsliding. Peter has already cursed Jesus Christ. And verse 4, we'll just pick up. No, let's pick up with verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And no one ever backslides alone. You're going to impact people. They're going to go with you. Husband, wife, children, cousin, someone's going to go with you. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught. This is how great it is to serve the devil. These are professional fishermen, and now they're turning their back on Jesus, and they're going fishing. Peter says, I'm going back to the old way of life. The other disciples said, man, we're going with you. And they fished all night, and they caught, what's the word? Nothing. Nothing. Listen to me, no matter what the devil tells you, you go back to the land of Egypt, you will not be successful. You go back to the old way of life, you're going to lose all kinds of blessings. You're going to lose your joy. You're going to travel in a spiritual fog. You're going to stumble through life. You're going to grope through life, never really having any answers completely. The devil takes all of those things away. And he'll take those things that you treasure the most. I've said this before in this pulpit. Let me say it again. The devil is not your friend. He's not going to help your family. He's not going to help you in any part of life. He's going to destroy you. They fished all night and they caught nothing. Verse 4 says, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. They were in a spiritual fog. Here's the man that they had sat at his feet for 3 years. They saw him perform miracles. They heard his voice again and again. He taught them directly. But because of their backslidden, worldly state in which they were living, everything had gotten kind of turned into a fog. Everything had got fuzzy. All the lines are kind of fuzzy, and everything's gray shadows, and there's no right and wrong. And that's what happens when you backslide. Things just don't make sense. Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he saith unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And then John said, it's Jesus. And Peter dove in the water. He beat everybody else to shore. But listen, if you take on the characteristics of this world, you'll end up in a spiritual fog. If you come to church, I'll try to help you. I'll try to help you to grow because I'm going to preach the Bible. Not that I have all the answers. I don't, but the book does. And I'll help you to grow. God will grow you. But you can do a whole lot better than that. You can get in the Bible yourself. And you can grow in grace. You don't need to grope through life wondering what's really right and what's really wrong. This is what happens when you go off to a university many times. You start hearing the wrong message, and you hear it so much, you get to thinking, Maybe Jesus isn't completely right. And you start to doubt God and question God. That's exactly what happened to Eve in the garden. You read about it. So, man, don't go to the world. The devil's not your friend. The cosmos is not the answer. If you end up being a worldly Christian, it'll destroy your joy. It'll create a spiritual fog. It'll dampen your zeal. I'm out of time. Look at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation in chapter 3. I'm not going to read all of the text. You're going to have to read it yourself. It's the church at Laodicea. They lost their fire. They lost their love for God. Verse 14 says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. And by the way, this is the last part of the church age. This is where we're at. This explains why perilous times have come. This explains why there's so much of the church that is confused, and the church has become so worldly and has no power of God. It says, unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. And so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And you know, they go on, they say, well, but we're rich. It's all about things. It's all about possessions. And because their heart is with those things, they didn't even understand they were spiritual paupers. Because their life was all about things and worldliness and possessions, they lost their zeal. And in losing their zeal, they're no longer serving God. And this happens to all too many churches. By the grace of God, may it never happen here. And God writes Ichabod over the door of the church. They're still meeting there, but they're not a church. There's not an altar call. There's not the Bible being preached and people getting saved and people getting right. And the power of God is gone. God's word never returns void. Even in a cult, if they read a Bible verse, something good could happen. But you know, it's just not there anymore. They're the Laodicean church. You used to go to prayer meeting. You used to go to Sunday night church. You used to win souls. You used to have a prayer closet. Not so anymore. You used to sing in the choir. You used to go to Sunday school. Not so anymore. You've graduated. No, you've become worldly. And it's impacting you. And you're in that fog. No zeal. No peace. Don't turn there, but Isaiah chapter 38, verse 17, Hezekiah said, I've become bitter. He was a man of God. Had become bitter. But He turned back to God, and God replaced that bitterness with peace. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. What a great God we serve. But worldliness erodes peace, and it tarnishes our testimony. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5 in closing. Matthew in chapter 5. Most precious thing you have is your testimony. Testimony of a changed life and right living. That's something God can use. The testimony of a Christian is more powerful than the argument of any infidel. That's a good statement. They have no answers for the power of a changed life, for the power of right living. It exalts Jesus Christ. Every Christian is to have a testimony for Jesus Christ. You're not to be an advertisement for the world. You're not to be someone that the world can point at and say, ah, another hypocrite. Man, that's not how it's supposed to be. We're to not hide our light under a bushel. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We're to be a testimony for Jesus Christ. I remember this happening, and it was several years ago now, but Pastor Bill was teaching a class in the academy, and one of the assignments was everybody's supposed to write out their testimony. I think that's how it went, and Pastor Bill wrote out his testimony. I don't know if I got that exactly right, but you know, remember what I'm talking about?
No.
Oh, okay, well, let me tell you how it happened, right? He wrote out his testimony, and he come in. Jillian, are you here this morning? Do you know what I'm talking about? Where Pastor Bill come in the class and said, I've lost my... He didn't know what he was saying, but he's saying he misplaced his testimony they had written out, and he'd come in all exasperated and say, I've lost my testimony. I've lost my testimony. And all the kids were shocked, and they went, who did he murder? What did he do? What bank did he rob? And then they found out, no, that his written out testimony. Am I close? Is that how it happened? You remember it now? I kind of remember it. You're old. You don't remember all of it. But I remember because it happened to you, and it was funny. That's why I remember it. Our testimonies are precious. They're important. That's why, listen, you can't afford to be a worldly Christian. Take away all the selfish motivations of, you know, losing joy and spiritual fog and losing your zeal and losing peace and not having the power of God. What about the world around you? That cosmos that is looking for you, that cosmos that is in darkness and looking to you. You can't afford to be a worldly Christian. You can't afford to live like the world because everybody else is doing that. Someone has got to be different. Someone has got to just shine forth and ooze from every opening the joy of Jesus Christ and the salvation that Jesus Christ has provided. Someone has got to enter the room and bring with them Jesus into that room. You're called to do that. And so am I. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.